Hi friends, I am so glad to be back talking to you and share this conversation that I recorded a while back with podcaster and writer Johanna Smith. She's the host of Girls Talking Life podcast, and she has really sweet storytelling and conversations over there. She and I talked about a lot during this conversation about what it just takes to start a podcast and what it takes to start telling stories or really do anything that's creative, that feels like it's putting yourself out there, even if you're not good at it yet. And just the bravery and the humility it takes to keep learning. And that meant a lot to me. I really love that part of our conversation. We go on to talk about her mini course that is called The Gathering Project. There's such a need for it. She really felt compelled to create this coming out of COVID and isolation and quarantine and all the cultural divides, and just putting tools in women's hands to start making meaningful, intentional gatherings of any kind that really create a space of belonging and safety and community. And it is really beautiful just to hear her inspiration and some of the scripture and some of the ways that she felt like she could bring all these things together to put inspiration and tools right in front of us so that we could start gathering right where we are and in our homes. So this is called The Gathering Project. You can go to the Girls Talking Life page, and there's a link in there. They are starting a new course in January, so give it a listen and go sign up for that. I think that is so needed, and it's really exciting that people are making spaces like this. So go subscribe to her podcast, and also subscribe to my podcast. Give it a review. Let me know what you think. And any ideas you have for the future. I love you guys. I can't wait to keep sharing stories with you through this winter and this holiday season.
Well, my name is Johanna Smith, and I live in Central Ohio with my husband and our two girls. They are 13 and 10. We also have a Welsh Terrier who sometimes acts like a third child. He seems like a toddler in some circumstances. I also host a podcast called Girls Talking Life, where I chat with women who share their stories, how God is working in their lives, and sometimes we'll dive into a topic like marriage or friendship. And then at the end, I ask my guests for her favorite five, which are usually practical or fun things like your favorite coffee or mascara or something like that. And it's really supposed to feel like an extension of your girl time. So what you might be talking about when you're just sitting down with your friend for coffee. And I really hope that our conversations point listeners to Jesus in the process.
Yeah, I think it does. You're right. It does feel like you're just kind of out for coffee or happy hour with some friends. So
so glad.
Yeah. Yeah. So can you back me up to a little bit before you started your podcast and tell me what inspired you to start going in that direction?
Yes. So we moved to where we live now about 9 years ago, and we were part of this small church, and they were very focused on prayer and being spirit led. And during that time, I really started to feel God prompting me for some kind of action. I had no idea what. And to be honest, I was really scared of it. I was kind of like, no thanks. But I had listened to podcasts as sermons for quite a while. And then my friend introduced me to podcasts that were women talking with women. And I was getting so much out of that. I was just so inspired and encouraged by all these women and their stories. And I would kind of try their story on for size. You know, she started this company. Oh, should I start a company? Yeah. She is writing a Bible study. Is that for me? And I was kind of just, you know, like I said, trying their stories on for size, and none of it really fit. But my girls were getting older, and I had a little margin in my life, and I was like, I think I can do something. What is it? And one day I remember standing in my kitchen, and I felt very urged, probably by the Spirit, to start my own podcast. And I was like, again, no thanks.
Mm-hmm.
That's not for me. I don't feel like I am quick with my words, or, you know, I don't have a very thrilling story. I don't feel like that I could share. So I was just kind of like, I don't know how that's going to work. And then I thought about all the women I knew or knew of who had these incredible stories that I could help share.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have a background with some technology. So I thought, you know, I can probably figure out how to do this. I think I can create a website. I think I can do that part. And God, if this is really something that you want me to do, then you're going to have to help me with the sitting down and actually talking and, you know, putting together shows that are purposeful and that make sense.
Yeah.
So I had that idea. And then not long after that, this kind of flood of women that I could share their stories, you know, I just started making this list and it grew and grew.
Yeah.
And that was really how it all got started.
I love that so much. I really resonate with what you're saying as far as like wanting to draw people in and then all of a sudden looking around and being like, gosh, everyone has a story and
yes.
Storytelling is so powerful. I'm going to just make space for their stories. And it does. It gets the ball rolling and then you start to see stories everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
What have you learned and noticed in that? How long has your podcast been going?
It was 2 years in November, so a little over that.
I'm jealous of your technology knowledge. I started without that, and it's been a struggle, but I also, like, I love it so much. I love the storytelling and the connection that it brings everyone together, so it's wonderful. And that's the main piece. So what have you noticed? What have you seen? What have you been inspired by in those 2 years? Are there themes that have come out for you?
Oh gosh. I think it's easy to look at the world and watch the news and just be so discouraged.
Yeah.
And think that no one is following the Lord or, you know, all these bad things are happening. And so this really has been a beautiful window for me into some of these lives of women who are doing amazing things and this kind of connected network of women across the country and even in other countries that follow Jesus and just are really doing amazing things for the kingdom. So yeah. Just on a personal note, that has been something that just helps me in my, you know, my daily life. And then the fact that I can pass that information, like it's not just me having this conversation, you know, passing that information on to anyone who wants to listen and then hearing the feedback of how it affects them.
Right.
That's and so them good. Being inspired or their walk with the Lord. I mean, that's just beyond, you know, wonderful to me.
Yeah. There's nothing like that. Yeah. From one podcaster to another, how have you found your voice as an interviewer? Like, what have you found as your strength as an interviewer as you've developed over the last couple of years?
Well, I think one of the things that I started out with was I just have this natural curiosity.
Yeah.
And Lou, it's even gotten me in trouble, you know, just in my personal life.
Yeah.
People will say they'll be sharing something and I'll want to know more. So I'll mm-hmm. ask more and maybe it's more than they wanted to share. So
oh, yeah.
I feel like I've gotten myself in a little bit of trouble, but you know, when someone is coming on, they want to share their story. And yeah. So they expect you to ask those questions. So that has been just a really helpful part of my personality. And you know, the more you do it, the better you get.
Yeah.
Practice makes you better, not perfect, but better.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about, do you ever deal with knowing that you have to just do a lot of interviews to get better, but feeling like, okay, this is me talking. I think you're a great interviewer, but for me, I get like, I know I'm not great at this and I know I have to do more to get great at this. I'm kind of like, I have imposter syndrome and I'm kind of like, embarrassed as I go at times. Can you speak to that at all? Or is that, I mean, that could just be me.
No, that's definitely me too. Gosh, you know, when you first start out and you aren't that good, you don't have that many people listening. Yeah. And I really appreciated that, which sounds kind of silly. But when you turn out those first few episodes and they're the best you can do at the time, you are happy that, you know, hundreds or thousands of people aren't listening.
Yes.
But you have to do it. You have to go through the steps and just get that practice and the repetition. And I just urge anyone to embrace slow growth. Like, you do not want to be this overnight, at least I don't. I don't want to be this overnight, you know, success where you have so many people listening and you aren't ready for that yet.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. That's really true. And I wish that so many more people would just step out and do stuff before they're good at it and be brave in that way. That's one of the reasons I've kept going with it. I'm like, gosh, if other women, especially my age, but humans, just decided, like, I'm going to follow this thing in my heart, and I know that I'm not an expert at it yet, but if she can do it, maybe I can try it. You know, I think it's needed.
Absolutely. And know that you are not the only one who feels that way.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Are you doing things to sort of, and this is on the side, I don't know if I'll even keep this, but are you doing things to sort of like learn or educate? Are you like doing workshops and stuff, or are you just kind of putting in the hours and figuring it out as you go?
I am part of a community of women Christian podcasters. Oh, okay. And this isn't something I've done from the beginning. This was only recently, maybe in the last 6 months or so.
Okay.
And they have weekly meetings, and sometimes it's just all of us getting together to chat about what's going on in our shows. And then some weeks are trainings, and I have done just some off-the-cuff workshops.
Okay.
But
is that the podcast Her?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Oh, she's from Boise, like me. And so I keep thinking about joining that. She seems so great.
She is. Alana is such a sweet girl, and she's really knowledgeable, but the whole community coming together, like on those calls I was just mentioning.
Yeah.
I mean, that there's some magic that happens there, Lou.
Really? Yeah, I can imagine. There is something. I host creative and rest retreats, and when you get like, you know, 10 or 15 even creatives in the same room, something really does happen. It feels like magic.
I like that.
Okay, all right, back on track. That was a little side for me. So could you talk to me? I've been seeing on your page about the Gathering Project, and just even the name of that pinged something in me. I mean, it feels so needed. I haven't gathered in a while. And I will tell you, now that things are lifting a bit and I've gone to a few things, I'll tell you that I feel, and I think part of it is because we were out of circulation with our baby being so sick.
Yeah.
But now trying to gather, I feel clunky and clumsy and weird, like I'm not myself at it. Have you noticed that or heard that from anybody else?
I haven't, no.
Okay, well, that's just me. I feel like a little awkward in social settings for some reason. And I think that's part of it's just trying to like emerge from having a little baby or something. But right. So will you tell me a little bit about your Gathering Project and the story behind that?
Sure. So like I mentioned, my show is about time with girlfriends. It's kind of a supplemental time with girlfriends. But at the beginning, at the end, I try to urge listeners, you know, to connect with the women in your actual life. Like this is time when you can't be with your girlfriends that I'm going to provide this conversation. But when I'm with friends, I get inspired or I learn something new. And I want my listeners to, of course, then go share their stories and be talking with the women in their actual lives.
Right.
So I wanted to create a resource, but I wasn't quite sure what that was that would equip them or encourage them to do that. And I meet with, this is something else I didn't share earlier, but I meet with a group of women who, this is in person, and we all have somewhat similar businesses or podcasts or something where we serve the Lord, and we want to, you know, just share ideas and encourage each other. And they kind of helped me with this. And at first it was just maybe like a guide, a girls gathering guide. That's what I started with. And then it just grew into something a little bit more. And I was like, okay, I can give a guide, but I really want it to feel like it's a little community of its own.
Mm-hmm.
And then I listened to this sermon from a pastor that I really love and respect. And he was talking about 1 Corinthians 15:58. And he was unpacking it. And the verse says, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." And the way he unpacked that was saying that we stand firm by doing the work of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And the work of the Lord is relational labor. It's the work of friendship.
Okay.
And there are relational drifts. Like you said, it's awkward to be together now. There are relational drifts that have been happening because of all of last year. And Paul in this sermon, or in this book, is writing to the Corinthians in an uncertain time. And he doesn't know how things will plan out, but he's telling them to stand firm and to do this work. Mm-hmm. So I was listening to this and I was like, oh my goodness, this goes so perfectly with the message that I want women to hear. Like, it's hopefully soon, it's time to get back to gathering, and we need to do this relational labor. It's part of our job here on earth.
Yeah.
And so that just
heard that relational labor.
Oh, I know, me neither. And I thought, you know, how great is that? Because that's what we're supposed to do. Love God and love others.
Yeah.
Like, that's our job. So yeah. Then that brought even more clarity and meaning to what I was working on.
Wow. Yeah.
And so I was able to put together this, it's like a mini workshop, I guess is what I would call it, where I walk through 5 days of planning, prepping, and gathering with your girlfriends. And there are videos, and then there is the workbook. The Girls Gathering Guide is part of that. And I really want to help anyone who just needs some motivation to get back to gathering, yeah, or women who need support. Maybe putting a group of women together kind of makes them a little nervous. This isn't in their wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Or even someone who is a natural hostess, but wants ideas to just make things more meaningful, to really put things together in a way that's going to cause their guests to really feel something at their gathering.
Okay. So is this like for like leading something official, or are you talking like having friends over for coffee or dinner or something like that?
It can be anything.
Okay.
It can be whatever kind of gathering you want to do, and it can be reoccurring, like a Bible study, or it can just be a one-time celebration. And I do even include thoughts and ideas for virtual. If you are not ready to do the in-person thing yet, this, almost all of it works for that too.
Okay. So can you give me a couple of clues? We don't want to give away any of your content, but like a couple of clues as far as like the, maybe the like emotional side of reaching people, and then maybe like the practical side of just how to get your home ready or make it, like you said, more meaningful of a gathering.
Sure. Well, the first step and the first thing that we go over is defining your purpose. So it's probably not something that you've thought of unless you were having, well, you do retreats. So maybe you do think of a purpose before you go into the planning.
Well, I think that's really important, because I've thrown together a gathering without really having a clear vision for it. And it, mm-hmm, it really is like important to start with that.
Yeah. So just defining that purpose and taking it down to a level where it's something really clear and that you can use that then to make the other decisions for your gathering. And, you know, you can just have something pretty casual. But if you do have somewhat of a purpose, it's just going to be a little bit more meaningful for your guests.
Yes.
And then something else we talk about is really planning your people, like thoughtfully putting your people together, prayerfully considering who you might want to invite. And maybe it's a group of women that you have already met with, like a group of women from church that you know you want to put together, but maybe you want to have a gathering and you don't have a set group of women. Maybe the purpose of it is to make new friends or get some new women together. So we just go over some really thoughtful ways to consider who to bring together.
Have you subscribed to the Creative Sailor newsletter yet? If not, now is the perfect time. Amanda and I have been working on getting our hands on every single thing that has to do with beauty and light that we can find, and we are compiling it all into small newsletters that will go out every single week through the whole Advent season. So that's recipes, photography, music, poems, devotionals. It'll be like a treasure hunt. We want you guys to join us. So go to our Instagram, Creative Sailor Instagram, and you can click on the link in the bio to sign up for our newsletter. And you can also just go to amandalu.substack.com.
Can you talk a little bit to someone who feels like they love to gather, but initiating, being the initiator, feels very scary for them?
Yes. I feel like this has been me sometimes. Mm-hmm. I definitely don't always feel like being the initiator. But if you are feeling the need for connection and no one is inviting you, which is very quite possibly happening, especially right now, then I just encourage you to jump into it. Even if it feels a little scary, people are going to be honored that you invited them. Mm-hmm. And probably are going to say yes, unless they genuinely have a conflict. And the other thing that you can do if you are feeling hesitant is to invite a friend along to be a co-host. Mm-hmm. That way you have someone there by your side already, who's going to not only take some of the practical load off, but also be there in case, you know, in case someone can't come and it does feel like a personal rejection.
Yeah. Oh, that's a really good idea. And we circle back around and drill down a tiny bit more into what that passage means. What do you think it means for relational labor that we're supposed to be doing? And it could look any different way, but can you just drill down into that just a tiny bit more for me?
Well, I feel like as ambassadors for Christ, our job is to portray him to other people. And definitely the best way to do that is if you're in relationship with them. No one wants to hear your religious agenda. You know, if they don't know you well, yeah. if they don't feel like you know their heart.
Yeah.
So I guess that's where I would always start is, if you want the authority to speak into someone's life, then you're going to need a relationship with them. And relationships take work.
Yeah.
And they take time.
Yeah. And so then can we zoom into not so much gathering? Do you have anything to say about one-on-one relationships that feel hard, that feel like it is a labor? It's not coming easy.
Gosh, that's a tough one.
Yeah, it is.
I think maybe, I mean, there could be all different circumstances on why it's a hard situation or a hard relationship.
Yeah.
But maybe really taking it to the Lord and asking for his guidance. guidance on, you know, is this the relationship that I'm supposed to pursue? And if it is, really, what are the best ways for me to interject myself into this person's life? Or what are the right words for me to use when I'm around them? And really always focus on gentleness and respect when you're dealing with a touchy relationship.
Yeah. Gentleness and respect. I'm writing that down. I mean, that can go for even your relationship with your kids and your husband, and then working out to friends and friends.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And it's not something I'm great at. Yeah. Don't let me fool you.
No, those are great things. I'm going to go back and study that passage of scripture because I love how you drew that out.
And yeah, I'd be happy to share the sermon with you too, if you're interested.
I'm really interested. That'd be great. So can you tell me when that, is that already available, that course, or is it a course, the Gathering Project?
Yeah, I would call it a mini course.
A course. Is that available now?
It happens over the course of 5 days, and I'm actually in it right now with my first round of women.
Oh, that's so cool. What are you getting out of it as you lead it?
Oh, goodness. I am getting terrific feedback. And honestly, there was some hesitation. I was a little nervous that people would be like, well, gosh, yeah, you just throw people together and, you know, you don't have to plan or there's no need to go through all these steps. But from the women who are in it now, I'm really hearing that they are enjoying the thoughtful effort that goes into it. So I'm really glad that that's the way that they're feeling about it. And it is something that I'll do a few times a year. So I plan on doing another one in June.
Yeah. I think that it's so important that, I don't know, if you're on the other end and you are invited to something, and when you show up, you feel like it's intentional and you feel like you belong, there's no better feeling than feeling like you belong. And that doesn't always just happen like organically or willy-nilly. Sometimes it does, but sometimes it really is maybe a skill to be taught, especially nowadays when everything is so fast and not connected. I think that it's so great to break it down and actually teach people how to be intentional about making people feel belong, like they belong somewhere. That's so great. That's so good. I'm curious as to see like all the things that kind of ripple out of it, like the different ideas and the stories that come from it.
Oh, me too. And just part of it is a Facebook group. So everyone is sharing their ideas right now. And I just love the creativeness and, you know, everyone has their own idea. Everyone's doing something completely different.
That's neat. What was it like to, is this your first kind of course project?
It is, yes.
What was it like to launch that?
It was really nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
I had thoughts, like you were saying earlier, Lou, just, you know, who am I to be doing this? I'm not qualified. Just all the imposter syndrome lies that we can feed ourselves. And it was a lot of work too. So kind of making myself do this was a stretch. It was a stretch for me, but now that I'm in it, now that it's live and these women are sharing their feedback with me and they do find it useful and they are learning new things. I mean, that just really helps to know that, okay, what I have put out there is valuable to someone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that for such a time as this, I mean, if there was ever a time that we needed it, it's right now. So I'm really thankful that you're using your voice for that. So before we kind of move on and wrap up, will you take a minute to just speak to women who long for gathering and just give them like a couple seconds worth of your heart for the whole project?
Sure. We are not made to do life on our own. Isolation and quarantine and all those words that we've heard over the last year that have become part of our reality, it's not how we're supposed to live. I know that we have done it for protective measures, but as you are able, as the world opens back up, we need to be with each other. Mm-hmm. We need to share our stories and listen to other people's. And it is good for your soul. If you gather with a group of like-minded women, or even women who are different than you, depending on what the purpose is of your gathering, It does something inside you, and it is life-giving. And, you know, if you're a mom and you take that time away, you get to come back and be refreshed. Or if you are, you know, kind of whatever your daily grind is, when you get to go away and take that time with other women to refresh your soul, it just changes things.
Yeah. Yep. And we need to. You can almost fake connection by, and I've seen this being home with the baby, like you can feel connected by watching a cute show for a little while or scrolling Instagram for a little while. But it really is a decoy, because you do after a while feel like, I really need like a personal touch and like a meal with someone and a real conversation face to face with someone. It's really important. It's what we're made for.
Yes.
Yeah. What are the things that we, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I love that we can connect like you and I are right now over the computer. That's so valuable, because, oh my goodness, what would we do during all this if we couldn't?
It's a gift.
But like you're saying, face to face, it's just something different. There's really something else there, an element that we cannot reproduce technologically.
What do you see that shows up in people when they are without gathering?
Wow. Depression and loneliness. And I think if you're not gathering and you kind of get out of the practice of it, you're more likely not to want to do it even. At least that's for me. If I'm not out in the world, I'm kind of more hesitant to go next time. Does that make sense?
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what, when I kind of described feeling clunky getting back into gatherings, I think that's what I'm feeling, because I've been so long without it that Now it's almost like getting ready to go to something just feels like, gosh, is this even worth it? I don't even have the energy for this. And then it's like, of course it's worth it. But yeah, it's like you're out of the practice. It's a muscle that needs to be built back up.
Right.
That's cool. All right. Well, I always kind of end talking about something you're watching or reading and something that you are eating or cooking. So can you talk to me about those two things?
Okay. Watching or reading. My husband and I feel like we've been through all the series on the apps that are worth watching or reasonable.
Yeah.
So we have resurrected Jack Bauer, and we just started at the beginning of 24.
Oh, wow. That is a deep dive.
Yeah, there are so many seasons. It's so funny. And we actually just wrapped up season one last night, and it is such a good show. And it's clean. I mean, it's violent, but it's not, you know, there's not really bad language, and there's not like a bunch of sexual content. So that has been really good. And it's, you know, on the edge of your seat kind of drama.
Yeah.
And I am reading a book called Delicious. And I'm not going to be able to tell you the author's name, but it is just a sweet little fiction novel about a food magazine. And it actually serves to calm me down after watching the 24 before bed.
A nice balance.
Yeah, just a little fiction to relax and kind of calm your mind so you can sleep. And, you know, I shop at Trader Joe's. That is my number one grocery store. I go almost every week. And only around this time of year do they have this really delicious corned beef that you just pop in your crock pot.
Okay.
And that is what I am looking forward to making this weekend. We make these delicious Reuben sandwiches that my kids love. They call it the good meat.
I've never made corned beef in my life. I've probably only eaten it once or twice.
I don't even know how this tradition got started in my house, but the good meat, that is what we're going to be cooking up.
The good meat. I like that. Trader Joe's is our spot too. You can find, and I do love how they incorporate seasons with every, yes, every season. They kind of bring those like traditional foods. That's awesome. That's so cool. Well, thank you so much. Thanks for meeting with me. I love your show. I love the, I really love your curiosity, because every time you're I'm listening to someone and I'm like, ooh, I wonder this. It seems like that's the question you ask next.
So, oh, good.
Your curiosity is a gift to all of us. And thank you for leading and putting yourself out there to like show people and lead the way in like starting to gather again. I think that's going to be really healing work.